Ladies and gentlemen, in order to achieve an R rating today, a motion picture must contain full frontal nudity, graphic violence, or an explicit reference to the sex act.
From the depths of evil comes the diabolic killer of beautiful women.
To avoid fainting, keep repeating. It's only a movie.
Hello, and welcome, foolish mortals, to Tangents on Terror. I am one of your hosts, Chelsea Holland, and with me today, I feel like I'm hosting a PBS special, but anyway, we're just going to go with it. Here with me today is my lovely co-host,
Sarah London. What's up, y'all? How's it going, y'all? I'm not going to talk like that. I won't talk like that. We'll lose.
Oh, I think it would be cool. I thought that was going to be like your podcast voice, but.
Can you imagine if I was just like, oh, what's up, y'all? Constantly, I would shoot myself.
I love it. It's a character. We're doing a lot of character work on this podcast.
For sure. 100%.
It's our SNL audition as well as a podcast. This is basically what we would call in the biz, as they say in the industry, the business. We would call it our pilot, I guess. It's a little introduction for you to get to know what we're about. We are Tangents on Terror, as you may have guessed from the title. We are a podcast about mainly horror movies, but horror at large.
Chelsea and I are lifelong horror film addicts, and I think there's something about horror that affects you for the rest of your life. It's hard not to hear like the Jaws theme and not be scared of like the ocean, and it's hard to not hear the tubular bells from Exorcist and not feel that like creeping panic. And people have definitely asked me, and I know they've asked you, how can you enjoy horror? I feel like I get that often.
Yeah.
And this show will take a deep dive into that question. Because I know we all have that one friend when you ask them if they want to see a scary movie, they're like, no, thank you. Like, they're better than you. I don't think we're here to convert those people, but I would.
I am. I'm here to convert all of you.
Damn.
And I will. Okay. I will by the podcast end in 5 years or whatever it is, you'll all be huge horror fans, completely desensitized to violence.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to explain horror in a way that piques people's interest and makes it relatable and endearing and captivating.
Right.
Make it understood and put a different lens on it. We just posed a question on our Facebook about horror, and someone commented something that stuck with me. She said, after I watched Nightmare on Elm Street at 6 years old on accident, which is how most of us are introduced to horror, by the way,
yeah.
She wandered into her mother's bedroom at 2 a.m. and asked her mother, how can you prove that I'm real and the world around me is real?
Whoa.
That's pretty deep. Yeah. So horror can kind of force us to grow up very quickly, I think, and make those philosophical realizations about reality and time. And I find that really interesting. Although I do not recommend you force your child to watch horror movies to become smarter. I just feel like that happens. I don't know. Like I accidentally stumbled upon horror as a kid. I don't know how you did, Chelsea.
Well, I don't know if it was so much an accident. I was fortunate to grow up with like horror loving parents. And you know, not that they were like trying to convert me at a young age or anything like that. Nothing like inappropriate or traumatic, but you know, I wanted to join in. Like my real first kind of memory is like they watched Tales from the Crypt when I was younger, and I really wanted to watch it with them, and I would beg them to watch it. But then the second that the Crypt Keeper would come on screen and do that laugh, I would scream. Like
Fucking spooks me as an adult. I just watched it recently, and I like those same like weird feelings that I had as a kid. Or like, I don't know, it's like ingrained in my brain to be scared of him.
Yeah, like early things really like crawl into your brain and just stay there, you know. So it took me a while. I was a really pretty big scaredy cat as a kid, but you know, eventually, like, but it's interesting though, because I was a scaredy cat, but there was also that like fascination with it. It was like I was terrified, but I was like, oh my god, let me watch it. But then it was like, no. But then I was like, oh, let me watch a little bit of it.
Right,
and it
right.
Speaks to what you were saying, and that like, you know that you're not ready for it, but like you want to like confront those fears, like psychologically.
Sure. And you know, I think horror allows us to be vulnerable in a way where we're forced to deal with the anxiety surrounding our mortality.
Oh,
and it gives us large messages, sometimes clear messages, sometimes not, of good and bad.
Morality, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And those pictures show us how to be good people, whatever the term good people means. Obviously, with this podcast, I am by no means someone who has seen it all. I feel like Chelsea's the kind of person who's seen it all.
I've seen it most, not at all. I've seen a lot.
Okay, okay. Chelsea is the, she's for sure like the horror walking encyclopedia of the podcast. I would call you that.
Thank you. I like, you know, I get, a more accurate term might be like complete and total nerd, which is what most.
I'm a nerd too. I get it. Yeah. You have a lot of information about horror films.
I retain a lot of information about it because I'm so passionate about the subject for sure. Yeah.
I get fucking scared watching horror movies and I'm not going to hide that. I have to bury my head in the person next to me or scream in disgust. And I'm a verbal viewer and I have my limits. I don't know. I like to say I've seen the worst of the worst. Like, I've seen Faces of Death, but I don't know.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
I don't know if I could watch a Serbian film. I don't know if I can watch that one. That's like the only
one. Oh, you will.
Like, I will, but I'm not going to enjoy it.
I'll make it my, like, podcast mission, and I'll get other people to join me on this in this task. No, you might not enjoy it, but, I mean, there's lots of things that I've seen that goes back to your original question. Like, how do you enjoy horror? And, you know, most of the times I do, and sometimes I don't. And I think that's true of, like, different types of horror, you know? There's certainly ones that are tough to stomach, but still have value artistically.
Sure.
Yeah. So that would probably be what I would name under that. You know, Faces of Death is very, very brutal. I mean, it's, you know, it's just about as brutal as you can get, but you know, different things speak to different people.
Oh yeah.
In a certain way, you know, like I'm somebody who I feel pretty desensitized to gore at this point because I've seen so much of it, but like psychological stuff still gets under my skin so hard. Like the stuff that really like messes with my brain or like thinking about like what you were talking about, like what's real, what's not real, like that kind of thing that really like makes me doubt my own sanity and reality, that will like stay with me and freak me out. Whereas gore is like gross. And then I'll be like, ugh, I didn't really need to see that. But then later it doesn't really stick with me the same way, typically.
Sure, sure.
I don't know about you. I don't know about how your visceral reactions are to horror in that way, but.
Well, real quick though, about Faces of Death, we're going to do a deep dive into that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At some point.
Do I have to watch it again though? Or can I just look at my memories?
I think we kind of, yeah, we have to watch
probably,
it again.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's a horror podcast. We have to. Although I did just read something about Faces of Death that I will tell you after this pilot.
Ooh.
That is going to make you feel better about Faces of Death.
Oh, I think I know what it is. I've read a lot about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess listeners don't know, but they're about to find out. No, I love
spoil it.
Sure. Yeah. I love cannibalism. I love video nasty. I love slashers. I love occult.
Yeah.
I'll watch pretty much everything, but as I said, I'll never say you can't scare me. I'm constantly shitting my pants when I watch scary stuff.
Well, don't you think too, that like people who say you can't scare me, like, why are you even interested in horror at that point? Like, I don't like when horror fans are like, oh man, absolutely nothing scares me. Like, I just laugh at it all. I'm like, there's ones that are fun to laugh at for sure. But you know, if it doesn't affect you in any way, shape or form, it's like, how sad. Like part of the fun, the thrill ride of horror is to like allow yourself to go on that journey, you know, of fear.
Sure. I can think of a few horror bros who have said that to me.
Bros.
I just watched a documentary on Shudder about this guy who took his mom to get their brains tested while they both watched horror films. And and it turns out, because she was deathly afraid of horror films, and he was a huge horror fan, like his whole house is like horror memorabilia.
Ooh.
And they got tested and their brains reacted the same exact way to horror, which was interesting. There wasn't any quietness in his brain, there was no quietness in her brain, they both reacted the same exact way. So I have a hard time believing bros when they're like, nothing fucking scares me. You know, like, chill the fuck out. But anyway, using escapism into horror for me lets me kind of play out those fantasies and confront my fears. I know we as viewers, we know it's not real, and we relish in that space. That would be a good place. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the element of, you know, knowing it's only a movie is very important. But I don't know. That's interesting because, you know, then you could take a look at movies like, and we'll go more into depth about these topics that we're touching on, obviously, in future episodes. But when you look at things like found footage, right, or like when the Blair Witch Project came out, like the reason that was such a sensation was because it felt so real that people like actually thought it was real, particularly with those marketing tactics that were used. And I mean, that was actually had been used even earlier with Cannibal Holocaust, which we'll talk about another time, where, you know, people actually thought the actors were dead and they had to prove that they weren't dead. This was like a legal case, which is pretty fascinating to me. You know, more about that later. But you know, that's a type of horror that, you know, that really appeals to people. And then you look at something like Hellraiser, right? Where it's like, you know, so much about the atmospheric horror of it. Like, it's very clear watching it that it's a movie. You're not thinking like, oh, this actually happened. You're getting swept up in the fantastical realms, you know? So there's two very sort of polar opposites, or something like Faces of Death, which for all intents and purposes, the way it was put out into the world is real. So,
yeah,
you know, like there's these different levels. And I think there's different ways that we respond. Like, it's all horror, but there's different parts of our brain that must tap into, you know?
Sure. I mean, honestly, Chelsea, in my opinion, the real horror is sitting in the Oval Office. Not to get political.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, come on. How can you not? Walking horror in 2020. Living horror in 2020.
This is real horror.
Confined to our homes and not able to go outside without masks and no human contact allowed. Yeah, it's an interesting time to watch horror.
It is. I eventually would like to invite a psychologist onto this show.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
To kind of explain why our brains do what they do with horror. Just earlier, my boyfriend Mike was showing me a video about the downtown LA fire, the explosion that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was showing me firefighters escaping the explosion, and it fucking gave me so much anxiety watching it. Like, I felt like I was watching them die. And
wow,
it fucked me up for like the whole day.
Yeah.
And then I went and watched a horror film and I was perfectly fine. So I need a psychologist to explain that to me.
Cause that's make believe. It's different.
Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah. I can't explain it. I have my theories and opinions, but
you know what I was thinking about that I wonder if you, when I was watching horror movies last night, is like, I wonder if you have the same experience. Do you find that right now you're watching movies through like the lens of like COVID-19 kind of? Because I feel that I am.
Oh, I don't quite know what you mean, but maybe.
Well, I feel that like, well, when this first all went down, I was like that. Well, I never really got to the point of like, I didn't sit down and watch like Outbreak or Contagion or those types of movies. That was like a little too real for me. I watched like a lot of zombie apocalypse movies. I watched like Train to Busan and like 28 Days Later, which was a virus and things like that. But I definitely, like after a certain point of being so tired of being isolated, I was like, I can't watch movies. Like, I can't watch isolation movies anymore. I can't watch people like stuck in a house. So like, I started watching like slasher movies where it's like a group of kids out and then but I find that like a part of me while watching it is just kind of like, well, of course you died. Like, look, you're not social distance. Like in my mind, I'm like, why are you so close to each other?
It's just, you're like watching groups of people. Like, can you just spread apart a little bit, please? Can you just get apart?
It's bizarre. It feels like strange to watch people interacting in a normal way now, to watch kids like making out and having sex. And I sort of started to think about that. I was kind of like, oh my God, is like our entertainment going to change to this point where it's like, oh, like they're punished for not social distancing, or who knows? I mean, I don't know. The art that's going to come out of Corona will probably be very interesting, but I'm curious specifically to see what type of horror people create after having been isolated. Cause I think the fear of being alone currently is not big on my list anymore. I've been alone. I mean, I'm not fully alone. I have a roommate, and most of us have somebody that we live with because LA is really expensive. At least here, LA is too expensive to live alone.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, there's other fears that are bigger right now.
Yeah. We were just perusing like a couple of weeks ago, new horror films that came out. And there was one, I don't know if it was called this, but it was like COVID-19, a film called that, like a horror film. And I was like, how the fuck they haven't been able to make anything because the entertainment industry is closed down. These clever assholes put together clips from different horror films and made a full feature film with like a real plot. I was like, you clever.
Wow. Wow. Capitalizing on an international pandemic and tragedy.
I know, right? I know. But on that note, if you are a psychologist, I would love to hear from you. If you could email us at tangentsonterror@gmail.com and tell us why our brains are like that, because I need a professional explanation for this.
Yes, please.
There's so much we want to cover on the show, and I think non-horror fans will find some information pretty useful when we start dissecting films. For instance, Japanese horror revolves a lot around ghosts, and the subject of ghosts is extremely prevalent in their culture, and most ghosts are women. I don't know if you've noticed that, Chelsea.
I have, yeah. Women usually typically with like some sort of grudge or like resentment that they've hung on to.
Just like the Grudge. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Like that specifically.
It's always vengeful.
The ring she had resentments to, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, that's another one. Is that Japanese?
Yeah. Ringu is Japanese.
Okay. But it's always vengeful women who in life weren't able to act out combatively or violently or physically like men are able to. So they internalize that violence and carry it into death. And it's quite poetic watching a ghostly woman exact revenge on the people that hurt her or raped her or wronged her. And that's going to be scary, but it's also empowering when you get past the horror elements, which is why I definitely want to draw in the non-horror fans in that way. Make you see it like that.
Oh, definitely. And I think Japanese horror movies, particularly because they're so focused on being ghost stories, like I always find that those movies have a lot to do with grief and the process of grieving. Like, sure. I find that the way that like acknowledging ghosts, like the way that those stories are told is very, very interesting and very connected towards your grief in a way that I think Americans are not, a way that we kind of hide that grief or try to stifle it or use unhealthy outlets like drinking your pain away or just kind of like bottling it up and throwing yourself into work or something. Whereas like acknowledging your ghosts are still like around you is like, sounds like a pretty healthy way to heal, actually.
Well, I want to give you guys a sneak peek into some future episodes.
Yes.
But only a few to whet your appetite. So I'm going to name a few here. We'll be covering Satanism in film.
Woo.
We'll be covering what Giallo did for cinema. Am I saying that right? I never say it out loud. Giallo. Is it Giallo or is it Giallo?
I always say Giallo, but I don't speak Giallo. Italian. So I okay. could be like very off. And an Italian speaker may come at us and be like, it's Giallo. But I don't know. I think it's Giallo, though.
Giallo. Okay. I'm going to mispronounce a lot of words in this podcast.
That's okay.
We're going to go over the spooky shows we watched as kids. Yes. Can you name any of those, Chelsea?
Are You Afraid of the Dark is a big one. Yeah.
Okay. Twilight Zone.
X-Files.
Oh, I don't have that one written down. That's a good one. Goosebumps.
Yes, Goosebumps. Very good.
And then we went over Tales from the Crypt. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned we're doing Faces of Death, a deep dive into that.
Correct.
We're going to do banned cinema. So cinema that's been banned from certain countries. Like a Serbian film, I'm pretty sure is banned from like 30,000 countries.
30,000?
Yep. Did you know there's 30,000 countries?
And that they've all banned.
We're going to go over foreign cinema eventually. And when I say foreign, I mean Australian horror.
Good ones there.
Yeah, South Korean horror is actually my favorite.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just rewatched A Tale of Two Sisters. I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point.
It's a good one. I just recently watched The Wailing.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
I'm going to make a bold observation and say that I liked it more than Parasite.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. You know, it's a great movie, you know.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And my personal favorite we're going to go over is necrophilia in film. So that's exciting.
That is Sarah. And apparently Sarah's cat's favorite too.
I'm sorry. It's those small Hollywood apartments. I can't escape him. Well, we're really excited to dive in and do the footwork for all of you nerdy horror fans to make your nerdy horror dreams come true and to unearth those hidden truths on why we love getting scared. It's going to be really exciting. Also, you can subscribe to Tangents on Terror on iTunes, and you'll get our first episode automatically downloaded on June 8th, and we'll also be on Spotify starting next Monday.
June 1st is the day that you will first hear our lovely voices on this particular podcast. June 8th is our first full-length episode, and every Monday after that, it will be out every Monday. And
yes, you know, every Monday.
Yeah. And another thing, in the meantime, prior to June 1st or in between episodes, you can find us on Instagram at Tangents on Terror. There's also a Facebook group, and we like to post things in there, and kind of it's really fun seeing all the people who have already commented and kind of getting engaged with the movies that we've posted, and sort of our stories about why we love horror. It's really fun to see other people just connecting over this love of horror, because one of the things that's so great about horror is that, like, it really is this like community, you know. I mean, every time that I talk to people about horror or like recommend a movie I just saw, like as soon as they meet another horror fan, there's just this like instant thing where it's like, oh my God, you're one of us. Like, you just bond over it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little worried about that too, because the horror community is like die hard. And if you fuck anything up, like fact-wise, informational-wise, you know, it's like a big deal. So I can guarantee you my research on this podcast is going to be 100%.
Yeah, totally.
I'm still going to get some stuff wrong, I'm sure.
We'll lean on our trusty producer for fact checks too, and then we can blame him if we get stuff wrong and it's not a fact check.
Yeah, I'm fine with blaming him. That's
we
fine.
Can do retractions in our episode from previous faux pas.
Awesome. All right, Chelsea. We're excited to see you guys.
Sarah, where can you be found on Instagram for your horror photography?
My Instagram is so dumb, like the name. It's, you can find me tagged on the Tangents on Terror Instagram. But it's Sarah Supertramp with an underscore at the beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
What about
definitely
you?
Check that out for all spooky photos that give me nightmares, because they're such great visuals. Actually, one of them literally did creep me out earlier today, so I'm not even exaggerating on that. But mine is at Chelsea B. Holland. Chelsea is spelled the real way, Chelsea B. Holland, like the country. No offense to any Chelsea's to spell it IE or EY, but I spell it like the place.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Thanks for subscribing.
Thanks so much, guys. We really look forward to sharing and scaring more with you.
To avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a movie.